This Sunday we close the year of faith that our Pope called for us to be a special time of reflection on the gift of our faith, a time for growing in knowledge and love of the faith so that we could live it out more perfectly. The bishop asked for the priests of our diocese to reflect today on the Creed as we conclude this year of faith. So rather than going through the Creed line by line, I'd like to offer just three snapshots about the importance of the Creed from the lives of the saints. First is Saint Athanasius. Saint Athanasius is the one that we might credit for the tongue twister in the Creed, consubstantial with the Father. Okay. Now with the new translation of the Mass, that may be a challenge for some of us to understand or to grasp. But the new translation wanted to have a very precise rendering of this word because of its importance to our faith and because of its rich history. Now, Athanasius lived, or he was born around the year 300, and he lived during the time of the Arian heresy. Arius, in fact, grew up in the same town as Athanasius. And Arius proposed that Jesus was not the creator, but was a creature of God. And somehow Jesus was halfway between God and man. It's a great problem with this proposition, however. If Jesus is a creature, then he's not fully God. And if he is not fully God, how could he forgive sins? How could he restore people into right relationship with God? That power belongs to God alone. And on the flip side of the coin, if he's not fully man, how could what he did, how could his sacrifice truly be on our behalf and truly have an effect on us and take away our sin? So to say that Jesus is halfway between God and man would put Jesus at a distance both from us and from God. So the problem of Arianism, however, became very troubling in the early church. And so much so that Emperor Constantine called the first ecumenical council. It was the Council of Nicaea in the year 325. The goal of this council was to clarify the church's teaching and to bring unity back to the church. It was at this council that the Nicene Creed, which we still to this day proclaim at Mass, was first developed. So Athanasius was actually just a young deacon at the time, no more than 30 years old. And his bishop in Alexandria asked him to come to the council as his secretary. But it's said that the bishops, during their deliberations, looked to the young Athanasius, to his sharp intellect, to evaluate the subtle meanings of different proposals about the authentic teaching of the Catholic Church. One of the key debates surrounded the word consubstantial. Now this word means of the same substance. We know from the very beginning that it's hard to speak of God because God is not a material thing in our universe. But the point of saying consubstantial is that Jesus is of the same substance. He's of the same nature as God. He is God from God. He is not part God. He is not half God. He is not in any way separate from God. He is of the same substance, consubstantial with the Father, true God from true God. So the phrase clearly shows the full divinity of Jesus, the Son. So it was used to obviously eliminate Arius' teaching as a possibility for the true teaching of the Church. So all the bishops present there, the council signed this creed, although a few later rejected it. And everyone thought that this heresy, this false teaching begun by Arius was now dead. Soon, however, the bishop of Alexandria died, and Athanasius was elected as his successor. He was still a young man. And in the meantime, the emperor, for political reasons, trying to keep peace, he took Arius' position on this theological matter. So this did not mean peace for Athanasius, for he defended the true doctrine, And soon the Arians gained power and exiled him from the city. Over the next 30 years, as Bishop of Alexandria, he would spend less time in the city than outside of it, because he was exiled repeatedly. There's a phrase that describes Athanasius. The whole world seemed to oppose his teaching of the true doctrine. So he said, if the whole world is against Athanasius, then it's Athanasius against the world. Through the exiles, the pressure, the punishment, the suffering, he never wavered from the truth. He was willing to suffer for his profession of faith. He spent all of his energy promoting the creed that the bishops agreed upon in the first ecumenical council in Nicaea. Because what was at stake, he knew, was the central doctrine of our Christian faith, the incarnation of the Word of God. The fundamental idea of Christianity is that God is truly accessible to us. He is God with us in the incarnation. He cannot be half man and half God and truly be fully accessible to us and truly offer us the gift of salvation. So he was willing to endure anything to uphold the true faith. This leads me to a second saint, Thomas the Apostle. His image has been here in our church to guide us and inspire us throughout the year of faith. And if you remember, he is the one who made one of the first and perhaps most remarkable professions of faith of all time. His creed was very simple. He placed his hand in Jesus' wounded side after the resurrection. He cried out, "My Lord and my God." That was his profession of faith. And who could testify better to the fact that God had become accessible to us, that salvation was at hand, than the one who placed his own hand in Jesus' wounds? But remember, he had been the one who was skeptical. "Unless I see and touch, I won't believe," he said. But Jesus tells us that the point of the story is a little bit different than we might imagine. He looks at Thomas and says, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Pope Francis called this the beatitude of faith. Blessed are they who hear the testimony of the apostles and believe. Blessed are we who hear the proclamation of the gospel, who hear the creed professed and believe, not because we have seen or touched, but because we have the blessedness of faith. Third saint we heard about a few weeks ago, Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. As we recall, she's numbered among the greatest of saints. Her childlike, pure, and total faith in God is a moving example for all of us. But you may be surprised to hear that she was not exempt from trials of faith, even from our own modern struggles to believe in the existence of God. She didn't live so long ago. Nietzsche and Marx and Freud had already undermined faith in God throughout Europe by their teaching. And in Thérèse's final months, as she was afflicted with tuberculosis, she battled the same extraordinary trials of faith of many of her contemporaries and the modern world. In those months, she fought with neurosis, she endured temptations to suicide, and she could not shake the nagging "what if" of atheism. She felt unable to answer the arguments of the atheists. Yet she confronted these temptations with an unwavering faith. She fiercely clung to her Heavenly Father, though she could not see or feel His presence. While she was on her sickbed, it said that Thérèse wrote out the Apostles' Creed in her own blood that she was coughing up due to her illness, and she pinned that creed beneath her habit close to her heart. She experienced the pain of the atheists. She saw clearly the desperation of their plight, and she loved them with deep sympathy and concern. She was glad, as she said, to sit at their table and eat their food for as long as God desired her to remain there. That turned out to be until the end of her life. For their salvation, she offered her trial of faith that she endured in the final 18 months of her life. Therese shows us, and we have many examples in our church's history, of the blessedness of believing, even without seeing. Athanasius suffered for his profession of faith. Countless others have shed their blood for it. Therese wrote out her creed in her own blood, showing that her very life was her faith. Today, as in every Sunday Mass, we once again have the opportunity to profess our faith in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we do so, let us do it with sincerity and with true courage. Let us remember that God is with us, that Jesus is consubstantial with the Father, and so as true God and true man gives us real access into the life of God. We remember Jesus' wounds, the sign of God's love for us. And as we make our profession of faith, let us also resolve to take our profession of faith with us into the world with great joy. For truly blessed are we who believe.